Blog Talk Radio.
How's it going, everybody? This is Brother Carson for Blog Talk Radio. I'm here at the Mad Dash headquarters. We are going to talk about the effects of tobacco in our community. And so we definitely want you all to definitely call in and talk about how tobacco has affected your family and in our community. So if you have any stories or if you have any facts or anything about tobacco and how it affected your family, we definitely would love to have you call in on the show and let us know how you feel about the matter. So, but before we get into all that stuff, we wanted to talk about Mad Dads right quick, about us needing your help. And to help us further talk about more about us needing your help, we got the president and founder, VJ Smith, here to talk about how we need your help for just recent times for right now. VJ, you on the line?
Yes, sir. I am on the line, and I just want to thank everybody and tell them if they want to call in and make a contribution, mm-hmm. today is our telethon. We're on the phone trying to get folks to make a contribution to Mad Dad. Not trying, we are. And we want to thank all those that have already called. And the number is 612-822-0802. Mm-hmm. We encourage you to call us, be a part of the telethon, and, help us do what we do and what we do well. And that's important. Now, that number again, 612-822-0802. And let's go back to some of the topics about tobacco and how it affects our community.
Yes.
Now, have you ever smoked a cigarette before?
No, I have not, sir.
Have you ever been around somebody that was smoking a cigarette?
Yes, many times, almost every day.
And what effect does that have on you?
I hate the smell. It affects my sinuses, for one. And I'm sure that it can do some serious damage to my lungs or to my respiratory system if I'm around it too long for an extended period of time.
Yeah, that is called secondhand smoke. That's
right.
What that's called. And secondhand smoke has the ability to damage you without you smoking a cigarette. Now, isn't that
right.
Amazing?
That
now,
is.
if somebody gets drunk, that doesn't affect you directly, but it affects your family and your environment. Drunk people around you affect your environment. But if somebody is smoking and they jump in your car with you after a cigarette, or if they come next to you and stand next to you after a cigarette, you get third-hand and second-hand smoke effects, and which causes still problems because you inhale that stuff. You know, we talked last time, Alex, about 47,000 blacks die from tobacco-related illnesses. 47,000 each year, 47,000 people die because they won't stop smoking.
Right.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. That is a lot of people dying because of that. And I got to tell you, with the facts of the, negative effects that tobacco has on the body, you would think less and less people will start smoking, but it's only growing. The numbers are growing.
And they're growing because people are given new products. They can hold it in their tongues now. They're smoking it in blunts and black and mild and fruit flavored things that are fruity, strawberry, and you got Snoop Dogg and all them folks promoting these products to individuals. So that makes it attractive. You look on the videos and folks are saying that's attractive. Half of all the deaths in the African Americans are from diseases caused by smoking. 50%, that means 50% of everybody that dies is dying from a smoking disease.
Wow.
Of African Americans. 50%. That means half of the people that are dying could be prevented if they would just stop smoking. Think
right.
about that, Alex, and our listeners. Think about the numbers that we could save. If 47,000 are dying from every year, half of that, which is 20-something thousand, could be saved every year.
Right. Wow.
Now,
wow.
African Americans are more likely to suffer from chronic and preventable diseases associated with smoking. And in general, African Americans smoke fewer cigarettes per day and tend to begin smoking later in life than whites. But their smoking-related diseases and the mortality rate is still higher. Now, wow, think about that. We start at a later age, but our disease rate is higher.
Mm.
Now, that's something
wow.
wrong with that, isn't it?
It is.
There's a reason.
I mean, and
now, there's a reason for that, Alex.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things is more African Americans die from lung cancer than any other race in the United States.
Mm.
Are you looking at our chat line? Are you able to look at that, Alex?
To our chat line? I haven't opened it yet. Usually I open it around 1:10, but we can start the chat session going on right now. For anybody who wants to comment on our conversation but can't necessarily call in or anything at the moment, you can certainly hit us up with questions or comment right in our chat line, which is now open. Anybody is welcome to it. I don't really kick anybody out unless they are, like, super crazy and, you know, ain't trying to really contribute to a decent conversation. But, yes, we got our chat line open now. So if you are on there, if you are online and you want to talk, just make sure that you hit us up and I'll make sure that I see it. I check it every often when we are doing segments. So, but yeah.
And give that number
out
again for me. Give that number out
again. Oh, yeah, no problem at all. If you want to call in and join in on our conversation to bring us your 2 cents, because even that is valuable, then you can call in at 1-347-215-9262. Again, that's 1-347-215-9262. Now, I know there's many people, especially folks that comment on my Facebook, they actually had left messages to me saying that, you know, that they knew that we were going to do the show because it popped up on their email. So I want to thank people who subscribe to our emails, letting them know that our shows is coming on. And I know that you guys are listening today, so I thank you for that. We have to bring this up because this is another one of those epidemics that, I honestly feel like this is purposely brought to us, mainly to, another scheme to get rid of us. And a lot of people say, oh, he's going to, play the race card or conspiracy theorist or anything like that. But we have to play by reality. You know, we have to play by really understanding what kind of world we are living in today. You know what I mean? Like, cigarettes, and not just cigarettes, but all kinds of stuff was introduced in the black community solely for the purpose to get rid of us. Now, white folks might have had, got hurt in collateral or, things like that might have happened because of this, epidemic. But it is a epidemic that is targeted, I feel, to not only to just African Americans, but just people, who feel like, if they're stressed, then the only way that they can relieve themselves is by a cigarette. So, people, please open your eyes when it comes to this stuff. This is nothing that that we need to be doing. I'm reading all the time that tobacco usually has a mixture of nicotine and carbon monoxide in each cigarette you smoke, and that temporarily increases your heart rate and blood pressure. That means that strains your heart and your blood vessels. So it's very dangerous. A lot of people don't know these things when it comes to smoking cigarettes. But this stuff is a harmful, you know, host that you want to put into your body. You don't want that.
We found out that more African Americans die from lung cancer than any other race in the United States. So of all the races in the United States, African Americans take the lead in dying from lung cancer. What that says to me is that there's a reason, like you just said, there's a reason for everything that's happening. Why is it that we're the ones dying more than anybody else? African American smokers are more likely to die from smoking-related cancer as compared to whites. What is that reason? What is it? Is it the cigarettes in combination with the alcohol, in combination with the marijuana, in combination with the crack, in combination with all that? What is it? We also know that approximately 3 out of 4 African Americans smokers choose menthol cigarettes. Menthol cigarette, mentholated.
Right.
Mentholated means there's more chemicals in there to make it more soothing to go down. And 90% of African American youth prefer mentholated cigarettes. Mentholated cigarettes are the tobacco industry's most profitable cigarette, and they produce higher sales than non-menthol cigarettes and are strategically placed in the black community. That's why brothers say, man, you got a cool, you got Newport, you know, because that is the current mentholated cigarette in the market. And, you know, people don't even say you got a cigarette, man, you got a cool, can I get one of Newport? You know, because they just assume because you're black that that's what you have.
Right.
Now,
that's hard.
There is evidence, Alex, that mentholated cigarettes may promote the penetration and spreading of particles, the nicotine, resulting in a high rate of lung cancer among menthol smokers. As compared to smokers of non-mentholated brands, menthol smokers may be more likely to inhale deeper with the drag on their cigarette and potentially take in more nicotine than do smokers of non-menthol cigarettes.
Mm.
Think about that.
Wow.
You take in that drag and you bring it in more of the poisons into your system with every drag. When I used to smoke, I couldn't stand it. If it wasn't a menthol, I couldn't do it, man. Somebody give me a Camel or one of them Winstons or, you know, one of them cigarettes with no menthol in it. I mean, sometimes I'd try, but if there was no menthol, I just couldn't. It didn't do it for me. I couldn't wait to put the cigarette out. I could barely. Matter of fact, if I had to smoke a non-menthol cigarette, I would just not smoke. I said, man, I'm all right. Because I couldn't. It didn't do anything. I had to have the menthol. I needed that mentholated feel. And I don't know what it is, but the cigarette companies have figured out that most African Americans want the menthol. We want that feel. We want that excitement, that rush. You know, it also states here, and this is from the National African American Tobacco Prevention Network, that African Americans absorb more toxins and nicotine than whites absorb, and they also clear nicotine slower than whites. So we don't even clear it out of our system as fast as whites do. And menthol cigarettes may increase nicotine and toxic absorption, as smokers often take in more smoke and hold it in longer due to the numbing effect of the menthol. So the menthol numbs you up, and so you can hold your cigarette smoking longer, which means you hold your poison in longer. Now, think about this, Alex. 70% of African-American smokers want to quit. They want to quit. They have a desire. 70%. Most of them want to quit.
Right.
But the addiction, Alex, the addiction won't allow them to quit.
Wow. And you know, it's a hard thing, because you would think that, you know, once you discover something is horrible like that, I mean, like, it's not more so of I found the truth about something and I need to get rid of it. You know, if you were to tell a guy about, you know, his girlfriend not being right, then that guy would probably dump her. But you can't tell a smoker that the cigarette is not healthy for you because they will never stop. And it's hard. You know, I was just looking at a video earlier today, and this lady was getting sick, and she said that she wanted to quit, but she couldn't. And the doctors told her to quit while she was ahead, you know. And she didn't stop smoking, so she ended up with lung cancer. And it's like, wow, it's that powerful. It has that much of a vice on some people that even before you got sick, a doctor warns you to quit, and you never do. That's a hard thing. And you know, that is an addiction. You know, a lot of folks, like to rule out cigarettes as part of an addicting drug, but that's absolutely not true at all.
And, you know, what they say here is that Somalis in America, in Minnesota, compose the largest African refuge group living in the United States, with more than 10,330 arrivals just alone in 2006. And half of all Somalis in the U.S. live in Minnesota. And although tobacco use is a considerable problem among Somalians, especially among men, little research has examined factors affecting tobacco use and sensation. So what they found out is tobacco use is amongst as high as 50%. The main reason for initiating tobacco use was the influence of friends or peers and including other social factors. So Somalians view tobacco use as an important issue in their community, religious and social support, and their targeted approach is in creating effective prevention programs, and then they must address water pipe smoking. You know, I don't know what that water pipe smoking is about, but I think that the pipe has got water in it, and they use that. And so
that sounds like what they use. They call them hookahs or bongs or whatever. It sounds like weed. People who smoke marijuana use those things. That's kind of strange.
Yeah, well, even the Somalian community, the African-American community has a problem. The Somalian community has a problem. The Native American community, 33% of all adult American Indians and Alaskan Natives are smokers. And this is the highest rate of commercial tobacco use among every age, ethnic, and gender category in the United States. The largest.
Right.
And tobacco sales. Tobacco sales are an important economic venture for some tribes. Cheaper cigarettes are often accessible to American Indians on tribal land. Think about that. It even gets cheaper for you as a Native American. Those are the original people of the United States of America, the original people on this land. And they're still being targeted even by the tobacco companies. And they're the ones that started smoking tobacco originally, but it was just tobacco from the ground, not tobacco with chemicals in it.
Right, right.
Now, it's estimated that the tobacco plant has been used in a sacred way by American Indians for over 18,000 years, Alex. Traditional tobacco is still used by many tribes, often in prayer or gifted to elders or to people who share wisdom or prayers. While it does contain nicotine, traditional tobacco is not processed with chemicals or used in the way as commercial tobacco. So it does not pose the same health risk.
So
besides, so the natural tobacco that the Native Americans use are totally harmless as opposed to the chemical that they add to it, you know, let's say after you buy one.
Right, so they're not pros the same health risk because they're not putting all those chemicals in there. And if you want to know more about that, you can go to www.tobaccopreventionnet and get a lot of these facts and a lot of this information, because I really think it's important to know the effect. Man, I'm just telling you, the tobacco is a serious issue. It's probably one of the hardest things that I had to kick, Alex. It's probably one of the toughest things that I've done in my life. And I guarantee you that if we don't get a hold of the blunts and all the stuff that our kids are starting to smoke, that it's going to have a huge effect on them. And that's why the Native Americans are saying keep tobacco sacred, because you natural tobacco will not give you that kind of, you know, they have tobacco prayers, and English tobacco prayer is they offer tobacco today to help me with what I want to do. The Ojibwe tobacco prayer, then they have the Dakota tobacco prayer, and all of these prayers are designed to naturally ask God to bless you and to help you with things you want to do. You know, people that want to quit need to have a reason to quit. There needs to be a reason to quit. Just like, Alex, you know, there was a time when you wanted to rap about worldly stuff and you had to. There was something that made you quit. There was something that just made you stop. You know, you probably heard a song or you probably somebody said, hey, man, I thought you was all about God. And then you thought, yeah, how can I be about God and talk so bad about the world? And so just the same thing with cigarettes. Quitting sometimes often requires several attempts. You can't do it instantly. Quitters shouldn't feel ashamed or alone if it takes them many tries to quit. And I want to give 10 reasons why individuals should quit. One, or 10 ways to make it easier for you to quit. Make a list of reasons to quit. You got people in your family that... You got people in your family, Alex, that smoke, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I have my youngest brother who is 19 and my stepfather.
And what reason could you give them to quit?
Being that it can kill them. I mean, and it's the same reason that I've always used. You know, number one, it makes you look stupid. You know, number two, it can kill you. You know, and I go through, you know, these type of talks with them all the time because, you know, they do it all the time. And it's like they're not chain smokers, but there's times where I have seen them chain smoke. And it's a shame because, you know, they talk about, well, I'm stressed. Well, you know what, there's better ways to handle stress. I've always been stressed. And, when I'm stressed, I don't have to go with cigarettes because I don't have advice on it. You know, I thank God that I'm not addicted to it, nor am I curious about it. But just stuff like that is what I'm usually talking to them about. It's just their health.
And the second one is pick a quit date, a date that you want to quit. Get rid of assholes, lighters, and all the cigarettes, and just pick a date and do it. And number three, make your car and home smoke-free. It's healthier for others and will help you not smoke too. So look at your car, clean out the ashtrays, take the lighters out. You know, I feel good when I get in a car where they don't smoke in, I feel good, man. When I get in a car where they smoke, when I get in a car and I know they've been smoking in it, I tense up. I get tensed up. So I love being in a smoke-free car.
I've always been able to like when someone is smoking in the car, my lungs literally almost like needs to shut down, you know, and I feel like I can't breathe, you know, or it's just not good for me to be around the kind of environment for a long extended period of time because,
it does get difficult after a while, and I do have horrible, sinus issues. Like, just springtime sometimes bad enough for me, but, you know, adding all those elements and the chemicals and all that kind of stuff, it takes a toll on my breathing. And, you know, on top of that, I have asthma. And, you know, that's not a good thing, especially if I feel like I'm choking, and then I get the coughing, and then the asthma kicks into play. So it is a big problem for me when someone smokes. And then oftentimes I'm polite, and somebody asks me, you don't mind if I smoke, do you? And I do mind, you know, please don't smoke. But a lot of times I'm polite, and I don't say, you know, I mind, you know, don't smoke. But a lot of times I say, no, I don't mind, I'm okay. And I'm not. I'm over there dying, you know what I mean?
Right. And you shouldn't say you're okay. If you're over there dying, you need to let them know you're over there dying so that they can stop smoking or even get out of their car. I mean, it's really mm-hmm. simple. We have to start saying what we mean, man. We can't just to please somebody or just to get a ride. Sometimes that ride ain't even worth it. If it's going to cause you to take in poison, it's not worth it, Alex. And you shouldn't put up with it. You're valuable. Your body's valuable. Your life is valuable. And you've got to do everything to protect it. But sometimes nobody else will protect your life like you will. Now, let me go right to another reason to make it easier for you to quit. Tell everybody that you're quitting and ask for support. Ask someone to quit with you. Sometimes if you have a quitting partner, it's just like anything else. If you have a partner, it makes it easier for you to do the thing that you want to do. And then number five is think about the money that you save. If you buy a pack of cigarettes every day, at the end of the year, Alex, you will have $3,000 saved.
Wow.
End of the year.
A pack of cigarettes. That's the kick to have it.
That you would have three times. You could get you a nice hoopie. You get some new living room furniture. You could take a nice trip. You know what kind of trip you could take with $3,000?
What is that?
You could take a nice trip with $3,000. You could go to Disneyland. You could go to Vegas.
Yeah.
You could go.
Definitely.
You could go a lot of places. If I gave you $3,000, Alex, you would be gone. You would be like, man, I'm out of here.
It wouldn't be so black and white, but yeah, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, $3,000, you could do a lot with that. And a little planning, you could do a lot. Now, number six is notice what triggers your cravings. If it's alcohol, if it's coffee, if it's stress, and if it's other smokers who can make you want to smoke, avoid these if you can and try to drink a lot of water, chew gum, and exercise. Water, gum, and exercise. What impact do you think that has on a smoker? Water, gum, and exercise.
Wow. I mean, that's a really good thing to think about as far as like figuring out what triggers, you know, your need to smoke, because a lot of people, it's such a tricky thing for them, because they can try to think long about, you know, what's going on with them, the one cigarette. But that main cause, that main reason is because of stress, you know. And it's like, if you never smoked before and you're stressed, you know, then you probably more likely have something else to, you know, deal with your stress. Or, you know, you get some sleep or something. You don't light up because we don't know that to be a stress killer. You know, if anything, that should be adding on to your stress, you know, and, you know, that's the reason you got to keep a positive mindset throughout, you know, situation like this, because without one, that just caused somebody to want to try to smoke more, or, you know what I mean? I'm always watching movies about trying to quit bad habits. And, you know, it's one of those things that is just a bad habit, and it has to be eliminated, really. There's really no need for a tobacco company You know, I don't know if it can fertilize the ground or anything like that, but there's really no need for, you know, tobacco. It's just only, you know, stuff coming from the ground is only blended up in the chemicals and stuff like that. And we don't need cigarettes, you know what I mean? But the big tobacco companies need it in order so that they can continue to be paid.
Well, they get rich. They get rich off, just like any other companies, they get rich off of our destruction. If you drink enough alcohol, alcohol companies will get rich, and they tell you to drink responsibly, but they want you to keep drinking, you know. Be
right.
Responsible for your drink. Be responsible
right.
And keep drinking, but drink responsibly. In other words, don't kill people. We don't want you, you know,
right.
being a drunk driver. You just keep drinking. Now, the other thing
right.
is, don't forget our telethon is going right now. 612-822-0802. That's 612-822-0802. And if you say, you know, I love Mad Dads, I think what Mad Dads is doing is a great thing, hit our number right now. Give us a call and let us know that you appreciate the programs we're doing. You appreciate Blog Talk Radio. You appreciate the work we do out on the street. You appreciate what we do on the buses. You appreciate what we do in the jail. You appreciate what we do at the crime scene, with the homicides, and working with the families. If you appreciate that, and it costs us to do that, and we need your help. We can't do this for free. I mean, we volunteer as much as we can, but we have to pay rent, and we have to keep our the cable going, and we have to keep
right.
the computers going, and we have to keep supplies in the office, and we have to get ink for the printers, and there's stuff that we
right.
have to do. That everything just can't
right.
be free, so we need your support. 612-822-0802. And if you want to call in on the show, what's that number, Alex?
It is 1-347-215-9262. If you want to call in and add to the conversation, we would definitely love to hear from you because we know that we got some folks listening. And we know that maybe not all the time you can get to the computer or your phone. But if you can't get to the computer or phone, then you can always do the chat room, which is now open. The chat line is open. If you have a question or a comment, you can definitely type it there, and we can address it. Or if you can write a message and you want it discreet, then we don't have to air it out. But definitely give us a call if you want to talk. Now, after you call the number, they're going to give you an option. Your option is more likely going to be 1, just so you can be on air, or 2, whatever, mute you. But, you know, this kind of stuff, as far as tobacco, I've never really gotten too serious, or as far as like a reason to, I'm not going to say not like it. I don't like cigarettes, but I don't like it, especially being that it actually took my grandfather away. You know, tobacco is the cause of my grandfather's death. You know, it definitely deteriorated his body. You know, ate at his flesh. You know, it got him really weak, and he passed. And you know, that's one of those things why I have a personal issue with you know, tobacco and the tobacco company at that. You know, they take away good people from you, you know, and they, you know, the worst part is they don't care because they're becoming richer.
Wow. Listen, we're giving, sorry to hear about your grandfather, man. I'm sure he was a great man, and you're turning out to be the next generation of great men. And I know one thing for sure, you will not be dying from cancer caused by nicotine. You'll be dying from old age. You'll be dying from just being too old. You know, you'll live to be 100, and we're excited about that. But there's help. Number 7 is, Alex, there's help. You know, you can get
mm-hmm.
medication. They've got such
mm-hmm.
things as Tantex, Wilbertrine, the nicotine patch, and gum that can increase your chance of succeeding. The number 8 thing is, and people leave this out all the time, they leave this out in everything they do and all their walks in life. They leave this out, and that's
mm-hmm.
prayer. You know,
yes.
prayer is important. You got to pray. that you're going to make it through. You got to pray that you can do it. You know, you got to pray that you're going to be okay. You have to pray about those things. And so prayer is important. And then number nine is get your mind off smoking. You know how you walk around and your mind's on something? Sometimes you can get your mind off of it. You know, have you ever had your mind on a cheeseburger all day and you couldn't wait, and then when you get there, you get the biggest, fattest cheeseburger, put all the cheese on there, you could, extra onions, extra pickles, extra honey, because you're thinking about the cheeseburger. It's been on your heart. You woke up with a hamburger habit. You know,
Hey, VJ, your phone is fading in and out. I can hardly hear you. I don't know what's up with your phone.
Okay, is that better?
Yep, that's a lot better.
But you wake up with this cheeseburger habit when you need to wake up with a habit for thinking about how to not smoke. Get it off your mind. Take a walk. Talk to a friend. Just stay busy. I think staying busy, being bored, will make you want to have a cigarette. And number 10 thing here is stay away from that first cigarette, because even one can make you start back up. Craving will go away after 10 minutes, whether you smoke or not. Craving will go away after 10 minutes. Think about this, Alex. If I say I want a cigarette, but I say, wait a minute, let me wait 10 minutes and see if I still have the craving. If I do not have the craving, I will not have the cigarette. The craving will go away after 10 minutes.
Wow. See, I didn't know that, because I've seen people who had nicotine fits, you know, like my cousin, who one day nearly flipped over the whole house for at least a piece of cigarette, you know. And I have to tell you this story. I'm sorry, Sharika, but I got to tell him this. It was one time she drove me home, and she was freaking out because she had not had a cigarette all day that day, and I thought it was so hilarious how she was how she was acting in that car. It was so funny, but it was kind of sad. I'm like, wow, I thank God I don't have to smoke. But we work
right.
in good chairs.
Tell on Sharika, because Sharika did not need that cigarette. I am so glad that you told on her. And whenever you get in her car, tell the story all the time about Sharika and the cigarette and her having a cigarette fit. Because that cigarette is just trying to kill her. Thank you, Alex, for telling the story. Don't say you're sorry for telling the truth. Don't be sorry about telling the truth. You did the right thing. I am so proud of you. You know, matter of fact, lunch on me tomorrow. Lunch on me tomorrow, next Tuesday. Tell something else. Tell something else, okay? You know, but if you want to quit, there's ways to quit. And you can look up Quit Plan, QUITPLAN on the internet. Quit Plan has a lot of different plans for you to quit. If you're just check your local hospitals and community clinics, they can help you. They've got a lot of different resources for quit smoking. Just do a search on there about quit smoking, because it's important to find a way to quit. You know, Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders, they have a problem with smoking too, just like the Native Americans. And we need to look at some of their statistics and some of the things that they're dealing with. But they have been, we've got Cambodians, we've got Chinese, Vietnamese, Hmong, Koreans, Laotians, South Asians, Vietnamese Americans, Native Hawaiians, American Samoans, and you just got, think about all the people that come under the category of Asian and Pacific Islanders. You know, did you ever think about how many people come under that category?
No,
A lot of folks.
Yes,
and they're smoking, and they're having issues, and they need help. just like all the rest of us. There is nobody that's untouched by this deadly disease called tobacco, commercial tobacco. That the messages are clear that everybody is a potential customer. Anybody who can take your product and continue to smoke it and use it for the next 20 or 30 years, that's a good customer. Somebody says, look, Alex, me and all my family are every day going to spend $5.75 with you a day. That comes out to a lot of money. And all you do you provide them with something that will kill them. And they say thank you. And they tap your product before they open it up. Tap, 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 tap. I don't know why people tap the cigarette pack. Can somebody on the chat line tell us what good does it do? Maybe we should ask Sharika. What good does it do to tap the pack of cigarettes? Man, don't be laughing, because she might call in. What good does it do to tap the pack of cigarettes before you smoke it? Can you think of a reason why we should do that? Alex, can you think of a reason?
I'm thinking they do that, and this is just from what I've, noticed or what I've observed from smokers. I'm thinking they do that mainly to take or to make the first cigarette easy to take out or something, or maybe to loosen them up. Or for what I've noticed when I've seen, my dad doesn't really do that too much, but I've seen my cousins and stuff tap the boxes. I don't know what the reason for it is, but I'm assuming that they do that so that first one can just slide out. You know what I mean? Or just kind of loosen them up that kind of way. That's what I'm getting out of it. I'm not sure, though.
Well, here's what we found out about Latinos and Mexican-Americans and Chicanos. Latinos tend to perceive seeking help to quit smoking as shameful and associated with being desperate or weak, and reported a strong, pervasive belief that people, men especially, should be able to quit on their own through own thought and willpower. So they shouldn't seek help. It's considered as being shameful to seek help, and I think it's important for us to seek the help that we need to do what we need for our lives. I mean, and then you've got the lesbians, the gays, bisexuals, and transgenders. That's a whole other category of smoking, and those individuals and people are people that need help too, and they're being targeted all the time to smoke. Mm-hmm. There's a policy statement about smoking and the position that they're taking. The National LGBT Tobacco Control Network that states smoking guidelines should have LGBT questions to the demographic section of their intake whenever possible. They want to find out. They say LGBT population experiences significant tobacco health disparities across all studies. They are 40%, almost 200% more likely to smoke than a general population. Gay, lesbians, gender, transgender, they will smoke. They're more likely to smoke that much percentage. I never thought about it. You know what I mean? Think about it. The cigarette company has figured out all kinds of ways to create customers, to get people addicted. What we're trying to do is to educate. We're trying to educate the community and the public about the dangers of what's happening for your life, for your future. Mm-hmm. I seen a young man this summer. He wasn't a young man, really. He was about 50-something. Same age as me, but he had oxygen tank. And he was carrying this big oxygen tank, and he couldn't breathe. He couldn't hardly get around. It seemed like every time he wanted to do something, he just had to try to get a deep breath, and he seemed so bogged down with this big old tank. And
wow.
I just thought about how he was probably asked to quit smoking, but wouldn't quit. He probably seen it was hard to breathe, but wouldn't stop. And he wanted to. I'm sure he wanted to stop. But the nicotine had such a hold on him that he couldn't quit. And that's why it's so important for us to try to figure out
how to help our people quit, man. This is an epidemic
right.
that can change the generations of our community, and we have to figure out, how to change this and transform this. So we don't have a choice. We really don't. We don't have a choice, Alex. It's our obligation to help our community and tell our community, and don't forget, it's their obligation to support us, and we need your support while we're doing our telethon. And that area code 612-822-0802. Call that number right now anytime you hear this, and always you can make a contribution, no matter how small, $30 to $1,000, no matter how big. Give us $1 million, and you watch it. I bet you we'll show you some difference. We'll bring on more staff. We'll do more stuff. We'll be more involved. We'll get on the streets more. We'll do more. If you give, the more you give, the more we'll do. I guarantee you, I swear to God, I swear we are one proactive organization that's doing the best. We try to take the lead on things. We try to take the lead on out-of-the-box thinking in terms of outreach in our community and the things we do. We are the first outreach team in the country to have a ambulance that is designed to reach out. The first outreach team in the country that rides the bus in partnership with Metro Transit. We're doing some firsts. We're stepping out, and we need you to step out with us. We need you to make that call, 612-822-0802. Alex, you know, continue to talk about all the different programs and all the different things that we're doing and how you're involved with the young people also. Before we go off the air, I'm going to let you have it for the last few minutes that you got. You go ahead and chat. And hopefully we'll get some other folks to call in and talk to you. It's been nice talking, Alex. God bless you guys, man. I love you, man. I love you, man, like I love peach cobbler on Christmas Day. And you know that. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.
Love you too, VJ. Thank you for calling in. And we have many, many programs here. But we really want to get to the conviction part about this whole thing about tobacco and, you know, our community specifically. We want to get to the conviction part because there's too many people that I've personally talked to who were smokers or who are smokers that don't seem to grasp an idea about what they're really into until they get into a medical issue, a medical situation, you know. I was watching the video. The lady was talking about how she now has lung cancer, but before then, you know, was warned many times that she just couldn't do it. You know, that to me is heavy because how many of us in our family has that happened to? You know, I can remember when I was little, my grandfather was snapped at many times by my grandmother, you know, to stop smoking and stop using tobacco. We got another caller on the line. Caller, this is Blog Talk Radio, Mad Dad's Radio. Who's this?
This is Gil. How you doing, Alex?
How you doing, Gil?
I'm doing great, brother.
We're sitting there. We're talking about the effects of tobacco in our community. I want you to tell everybody the story and the struggle with tobacco and how one little boy had got you to change your mind about tobacco and got you to quit.
Oh, hey, that is a remarkable story, Alex, and I'm glad you gave me the opportunity to share it with our audience.
Yeah.
I remember one day we was down on Broadway and Emerson at the Hook's restaurant. So me and VJ had stopped in there to get something to eat. So a little boy looked at VJ and he said, "Hey, do you smoke?" And VJ told me, "No, I don't use tobacco. I don't smoke." And he looked at me. He said, "Do you smoke?" I said, "I'm trying." He said, no, man." He said, "Stop lying. If you smoke, say you smoke. Don't say you trying to smoke." And I was like, wow. This kid, the lady Peter saying, it brought me to conviction like that, you know. And, and you know, it wouldn't leave me. It stayed in my spirit, man. You know what I'm saying? And that prompted me to stop. I think it was like 7 days later, I stopped cigarettes altogether. And I've been tobacco-free for a year.
Wow. And yeah. That's amazing how it takes, one little kid, you know, to get people to stop smoking and, you know, spared your life. Because every puff you took with that cigarette, it shortens up a life on people. I swear it does.
And,
really, my thing is that we work with kids by the mad dads, you know what I'm saying? We are image, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
We got to be the message that we bring to the community, you know? And the kids look at us, you know what I'm saying? And the conviction that that kid brought to me was that, hey, man, you a liar. You're living a lie. You're telling me not to do drugs, and you're telling me not to do tobacco, but you're sitting here smoking. So I don't want to hear anything about you, because at the end of that story, he said, I like you, VJ. He said, I don't like you. You know, so he was telling me then, you know what I'm saying, is that, hey, you a liar. You know what I'm saying? So why should I listen to you? Because you're just like everybody else in the community. You've been, you know, you a lie to me. So once he brought to me, that brought clarity to me. You know what I'm saying? That gave me added motivation to lay up here and do what I've always seriously wanted to do, and that was walk away from tobacco. You know? But
right.
I think that as a mad dad and stuff, you know, that we got an image that we have to portray to the kids out there that is strong black men. You know what I'm saying? That is one to live here into your life to show you the mistakes through our mistakes. You know what I'm saying? That you don't have to get hit by a car in order to understand that the car is going to hurt you, might possibly kill you. You know what I'm saying? If you live here and you look at other people and stuff as an example for your life, and that's what I want to be. I want to be an example, a positive role model to some kids.
Definitely. And you know what I like about little kids when it comes to that kind of stuff? They will really, you know, when it comes to conviction with them, they don't even, like, recognize the effect, or they don't recognize the power they have behind their words. That's what's funny about it. And I really appreciate some of the kids that we go and talk to, because they might have the simplest question. You know what I mean? And that question
will
have you all day.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it would just shake you up.
Yeah, it would.
You know,
I mentioned this last week about how it was called a riddle, and little kids got this riddle fast, but they asked the same riddle to Harvard students, and only 5 out of 80 Harvard students got this quiz right. Little kids got it right. And the riddle was, what is more powerful than God? What is more evil than Satan? Rich people need this. Poor people have this. And if you eat this, you will die. What is the answer? Little kids knew right along that the answer was nothing. You know what I mean? But older kids couldn't figure this out. It perplexed them. These are Harvard students that got perplexed by the simple answer was nothing. And little kids was able to get that. And, you know, and that's what I like about kids, because some of them could just be the most innocent, be asking the most innocent question, and I have you stuck, and it can cause you to change your life. I think we need that kind of effect when it comes to people to spread this message about tobacco in our community. You know, I mentioned earlier that my grandfather actually died because of tobacco. You know what I mean? And it's one of those things that, you know, he probably still would have been passed on by now, but he would have lived just a little bit longer. You know what I mean? To see us grow up a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, because this the exact type of thing it happens. You know, I mentioned earlier that carbon, it has a lot of things going on with tobacco. Has all these things that's mixed up in there, nicotine and carbon monoxide, which robs your muscles, your brain, and your tissue, you know, of oxygen. You know, that makes your whole body, and especially your heart, work harder. And over time, it's going to swell up your muscles, it's going to swell up your lungs. And that's exactly what happened to my grandfather, and he died because of that. And I want to let people know that, you know, little kids are very impressionable, you know, and powerful as well. If you smoke around your child all your life, most likely he's going to grow up to smoke. Now, my case, that wasn't the case, because my dad smoked around me all the time. But I never liked the idea of smoking, because it got on my nerves so bad. My sinus was horrible, and it choked me up. So I never was the guy who wanted to smoke. You know what I mean? So I thank God that I don't have the desire, nor am I curious about smoking, because I can care less. I got to tell you, for real, I'm smoking. I'm not interested at all. You know, I can't even be peer pressured in this. I've never been the kid in high school that people hated talking to me because I was real bullheaded. But I was in the bullheaded in a positive way when it came to certain things. You know, even when I was an idiot, you know, when I was out doing stupid stuff, I still was bullheaded when it came to, you know, drugs and all that stuff. I was like, no, that's no way, ain't no how I'm going to do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I've been people attempt to try to give me smoke weed, and I said, no, I'm not doing it. You know, they attempted me to try to do cigarettes or, you know, get drunk or something. I was like, no, you know, I'm sorry, but that's stupid. That's not me. It ain't a part of me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's important that the kids these days need to learn how to be themselves. And I think that's where we get caught up, because a lot of kids, they don't like to be themselves because they feel like that it's going to rub in the wrong way when it comes to their peers, you know what I mean? And a lot of times their peers might, you know, view them as funny and, you know, weird or something. They want to associate themselves with them because, hey, this dude don't like to get high with us anymore. You ever experienced that stuff when you was in high school or when you was young, Gil?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That was one of the biggest things that made me start smoking. You know what I'm saying? It's because, like, I just see my older brother sneak off and doing this stuff, him and his friends. And, you know, like, I was just a year under my brother. So, you know, I was real impressible about the things that he did. I always wanted to mimic and want to hang out with him and his friends, but they would never let us hang out. You know what I'm saying? So when I got my little crew together that would listen to me and stuff, I thought that being, you know, grown up acting, that cigarettes was part of the image. You know what I'm saying? So I just pick up a cigarette and I just start smoking. As a matter of fact, the first cigarette I smoked was Philip Morris. You know, and I used to gag. Oh, God, my chest used to hurt and everything and stuff. You know what I'm saying? And they say, you know, they say, you'll get used to it. You'll get used to it. You know? And like they said, I got used to it. You know, I got used to it. And as the trend started changing, I started seeing all the older fellas and stuff, they were smoking cools. You know what I'm saying? The little non-filter cools. And they were smoking them things and stuff. So I gradually progressed along with them, you know what I'm saying, seeing what the older fellas was doing. So, you know, that's what sticks off into my mind now when I'm out here in public, you know what I'm saying, is that the image that you project, you know what I'm saying, the image that you project has to reflect the words that you're putting out there. You know, it doesn't do no good, you know what I'm saying, to lay up here and say something and your actions beguile what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
So,
amen.
You know, you can't lay up here, you know what I'm saying, to trick these kids today. These kids look through a phony in a minute. You know what I'm saying? You can walk in the room and all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying, there's a spin or an aura around you that those kids pick up, and they reflective guards just automatically just pop up because they say, hey, here comes a phony, here comes a fake, here comes a liar. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So as a mad dad, you know what I'm saying, I'm laying up here, you know what I'm saying, I want to lay up here and project integrity, truth, and honesty. You know what I'm saying? I want to be a black Superman. You know, I want a little kid to lay up here and say, well, hey, man, you know, Gil, you know, you talk good, you act right, you know what I'm saying, you know, you speak words of empowerment to me and stuff. You're saying, I want to be like you when I grow up. Man, if I can hear those words coming from one kid.
And Gil, we gotta cut this one short because we got a few seconds left. But I would like for you to pray out for us before we end this. We got 1 minute left. Gil, would you pray out for us?
Okay. Father God, we just want to just thank you, Father God, for this morning, for waking us up, Father God. Father God, we just want to just ask you, Father God, to touch every heart, every mind, Father God, that's hearing our voice today, Father God. Father God, we want to just go off into your life, go off into their lives, Father God, and do and open the doors, Father God, they need to open, Father God. Open the mind, Father God. Open the heart. Open the hand today, Father God. extend the hand of hate, I mean of hatred, Father God, and take that hand of hatred and put it back up to the pits of hell which it came, because it has no place in our society today, Father God. Father God, we want to ask you to bless these teachers, Father God, all our educators, Father God. We want to lift you, Father God, and ask you to get all our government officials, Father God, to do the right thing, Father God, to put off into the souls of our children, Father God, that seed of prosperity, that seed of growth, that seed of knowledge, Father God. And Father God, we ask you to just protect our homes, Father God. Protect us, we're going for and coming for our work today, Father God. Bless all the children in school today, Father God. And we ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Tune in next Tuesday, 1 o'clock, blogtalkradio.com.
Bye-bye. Okay.